The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan!
Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Contrary to predictions, I'm Derek Gilbert.
Gee, honey, I hadn't even predicted that you would or wouldn't be. Well, I just thought you were.
It's May 22nd, and according to predictions, either the world would be destroyed or we would have been out of here. But,
I know, and we're not laughing about that because, we think that this is a tragedy. There are many, many people who listen to him, and many of those people put their lives on the line as far as their financial, you know, wherewithal to deal with today. In other words, they spent all their money.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, today being May 22nd, 2011, we're talking about Harold Camping of Family Radio, who predicted that the world would end, judgment would come at 6 p.m. local time, wherever you are in the world, on May 21st. And
That came and went and did not happen, and there are a lot of people today who are very sorry. Many of those people may, and please pray for everyone who followed him, because there are people who are likely to be in a state of clinical depression today.
Yes.
Many who may be very, very angry today,
right,
perhaps taking it out on their family members or their loved ones, or at the very least maybe wanting to take it out on him.
Yes. And
I don't know if this man, he may, you know, we went to church this morning and the pastor was talking about Camping and referred to him as a man that I don't know the state of his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And neither do we. We don't know if he's a genuine believer or not, if he's a genuine saved individual, a member of the body of Christ. If he is, then we need to pray for him. If he is not, then he is a charlatan and God will out him.
Yeah. And he's got some responsibility on his shoulders anyway. The Book of James says that teachers have a special responsibility for what they pass on to those who listen to them. So he's got some splaining to do when he's called to his great reward.
Oh, yeah, he's better off to have a millstone tied about his neck.
Now, I'll say this, and I'm not defending Harold Camping, but he did put his money where his mouth was. He spent over $100 million trying to get this message out, and his radio network, his radio empire, if you will, his radio ministry is worth about $72 million. So he mortgaged it to the hilt. He did take a lot of money from a lot of supporters to contribute to this $100 million.
He did, and a lot of his people, you know, the people who followed him, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy billboards all over the place. You got to really respect putting feet to your faith.
Yes.
And if you truly do believe that the rapture is coming on a particular day, then you should, you know, tell the world, tell your family.
Right.
But we are told you can't know the day and the hour.
Exactly. Exactly. You can't get around that statement
you
that
can't.
Jesus, when he was in human form on this earth, said that he didn't even know the day or the hour.
And that was when he was in human form.
Right.
He knows now.
Absolutely. So, and forgive me if I came off as too flippant at the beginning of the program, because I can relate to the feeling of those who woke up or who looked at their watch and realized it was six. It was after 6 p.m. local time and they were still there.
Mm-hmm.
Without getting into details, there was a case in 2005 where, and things worked out for God's own purposes, but where I committed our family and the two of us to a cross-country move for a job that turned out not to really be there. And I thought it was God's will to take this job and make this move. And what it actually turned out to be was an opportunity for me to spend a lot of time with my father in his final weeks of life.
God turned that decision, even though it may not have been the wisest one at the time.
No.
You made the best decision you could with the information you had. But God did turn it to wonderful, wonderful ends.
Yes, he did. We'll never regret it because of that.
And the guy you were following, it could be, and we won't name him, but it could be that guy's just not all there.
Yeah, you know,
or a charlatan, but we don't know.
And but so I can relate to the state of mind of the people who watched the clock tick down to 6 p.m. and got past. And Joe Ortiz, our friend Joe Ortiz, has talked mm-hmm. about this. He went through a similar situation where he was convinced that there was a certain day where the rapture was going to happen, and that caused him to think and to go back to Scripture and really study.
And he decided for himself.
And if those who followed Harold Camping are driven by this to anything, pray that it's to study Scripture and to learn what the Lord said for themselves rather than what Harold Camping says the Bible says.
Exactly. Yeah. Amen.
So anyway.
And here's the thing. This got all over. I'm looking at, you know, just at Harold Camping as a search term at Google News, and it's got lots and lots of stories here. And Huffington Post, the Christian Post, of course, the Telegraph, it's all over the place. A business, the International Business Times.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. They're all talking about and have been for weeks.
When did we first talk about this? I'm going to have to look this up.
It's probably been 2 months ago, maybe.
Maybe.
Shortly after we moved here?
I think it was before we moved. It was well before we moved here.
I think it was. So maybe 3-4 months ago. But anyway, it's been a while back since we first brought this up. And at that time, it was starting to get into the mainstream mm-hmm. press. So it has been percolating out there for quite a while. And back in 1994, Camping's, you know, this is the day, this is the hour proclamation, that didn't really make much of a buzz. Mm-hmm. But this time it did. And I believe it's the enemy trying to defuse an event that really is going to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
And the judgment really is coming. And because of this declaration by Camping, there were groups that were having, mostly atheist groups, mm-hmm. that were having parties.
Sure. A group gathered outside his family radio headquarters in Oakland and released balloons into the air at 6:01 p.m. while they played The End by The Doors. And laughed.
Well, trust me, they will not be laughing when this event really does happen, when judgment really does start to occur on the earth. They will not mm-hmm. be laughing.
We first talked about this looking at PIDradio.com on the January 6th show of this year. So we've been talking about this for over 4 months. And honestly, when this story popped up right around New Year's Day, I thought, okay, this is going to disappear here real quick.
Well, we'd never heard of him.
Yeah,
which was kind of embarrassing. You and I had heard of most of these people, we hadn't heard of this.
Kind of embarrassing to admit because he's been around. And, of course, he made the same prediction back in 1994, which he later explained away as a mathematical error. But,
Did you say 64 or 94?
94. Yeah, 1994.
My ears are 30 years behind. Well, there you go.
But, Mr. Camping is now having to deal with it. I've not seen any news reports of any reaction from him today. He really didn't have a plan B. He told the media there is no plan B because the Bible guarantees it. Well,
good on him. I have to say this. Good on him for being, standing rock solid in what he believed. Mm-hmm. Just don't agree with his police work there, so to speak. You know, when it comes to his reading of Scripture, he had some odd calculations that he put into effect,
right.
And that's how he came up with this date. Mm-hmm. I believe that we can know the season. Jesus tells us that.
Sure.
He tells us when asked to watch, exactly, we're to watch the signs. And he tells us when you see all these things happening, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh.
That's right. And that's as close as we can get. We're not going to know the day or the hour. The last thing that the disciples asked him in Acts chapter 1 is, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? And Jesus said again, it's not for you to know the times, that God has appointed.
Exactly. But just so you don't misunderstand, yes, 2,000 years have gone by, but the signs and the seasons that Jesus told us to watch for,
right.
they are really all around us. I mean, it's never been a time like now.
Yeah, and that was a discussion that I had with Jackie Allnor of Apostasy Alert Friday night.
That's right.
On a View from the Bunker. And if you've not listened to that, I'd encourage it. It's the second hour of the show. And continued that discussion with the same question, basically, with Patrick Heron, which will be featured this coming week on A View from the Bunker. If we see an event like this comes and goes, where the whole world was watching to see what would happen because of this false prophet, Mr. Camping, why then should we bother with the study of prophecy? I mean, what do we benefit from studying prophecy if it's so difficult to know that you can get it so spectacularly wrong, why should we even bother? The Bible tells us flat out that blessings come to those who study the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. And Jesus told us to keep watch.
That's right. And we are to comfort one another with the words of prophecy.
Mm-hmm. So, this should be core doctrine for Christians, that Jesus is returning. And while we are not going to know the day or the hour specifically, we are to be watchful and ready, like the five wise virgins who kept their lamps full and the wicks trimmed, ready for the approach of the bridegroom. That's how we should be, constantly on the alert, ready, and knowing that because the season is here or near, that we should feel especially compelled to go out and spread the gospel, to try to
in the highways and the hedges.
Yeah, yes. So anyway.
So what else is going on in the world?
Well, the big news this week, at least from a political standpoint, would seem to be President Obama's speech that Israel needs to return to the 1967 borders.
And you're so right on that, but I thought for sure you were going to say it was the Cubs playing in Boston.
Well, you know, I'm sure that had something to do with the big terror drill they had in Boston yesterday, and it is kind of ironic.
They were all running for the hills. My gosh, those Cubs haven't been here in what?
Since 1918.
Almost a century.
Right, yeah.
Well, of course, I assumed that you were going to talk about the Cubs, but you were probably referring to President Obama and the strange declaration, yes, indeed, that he has made. And if that makes no sense, we're cutting in because, honestly, I don't feel well today. And we stopped short a little while ago to allow me to go upstairs and try to feel better, and it's not working. So this will be a short show today. So if what I just said makes no sense, then, well, consider the source.
sweetheart, you're
Honey, I have nothing in my head right now. There's a cobweb, a crumb, and a mouse. And the mouse just ate the crumb, so I don't know.
Well, I'm right there with you. I know exactly how you feel. Well, just very quickly, President Obama said that the 1967 borders, the pre-1967 war borders, had to be a starting point for Middle East peace. And, of course, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, came to town for the most awkward photo op ever.
I know.
And then President Obama had to deliver a speech to AIPAC today, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, which is a very powerful lobby in Washington.
And they've given him a lot of money.
Yes, they have. In fact, 78% of American Jews voted for President Obama in the last election.
Well, I doubt that that's going to be the same number next time around, assuming Obama is the Democratic candidate.
Yeah.
There is always that chance that they'll decide, no.
You know, you just wonder, though. I mean, politically speaking, are they thinking that they're capitalizing on the Arab Spring? Do they think that he's on such a high?
Well, that's what he claims.
I guess, but maybe he thinks he's on such a political role because they put that birth certificate out there and put that birther stuff to rest.
They're making hay out of that. I mean, they got little T-shirts and all kinds of stuff that they're using as their campaign gear, campaign swag.
Yeah. Well, it's. I think this president is proving to be the most incompetent.
Narcissistic?
Well, you can make a case for that, but just politically incompetent president ever, or at least one of.
Well, let's just say in his speech to, I think it was to West Point or to the very men who supposedly, and let's assume the bin Laden thing went down as said.
Exactly,
okay.
as one
of the many, you know, versions that it went down that way. Obama is quoted as they counted that he used the word I 35 times.
While he was praising the CIA and the Navy SEALs?
Yes, that's right. The CIA, that's what it was, the CIA and the Navy SEALs. Yes,
yeah.
The CIA was supposedly in charge of the entire thing. Now, there is no I in team, but there is one in CIA. And there's one in president.
And I guess if you count the number of times he added CIA, it was maybe 36 times he actually said this is really, really strange. We watch this unfold. And, of course, everything that happens in Israel has we watch and analyze for some prophetic impact. The Lord has some very specific words for those who oppose his chosen people. And we've said before that we don't confuse the political entity Israel with God's chosen people.
No.
But that land is special to God. I mean, and if you divide the land, I think you are running great risk of God's wrath being poured out upon you.
Well, in Zechariah 12, you know, it's said that you shouldn't mess with Israel. Well, you know, essentially a doom to those who raise up a siege against Israel. And in Daniel 11:39, it talks about the referring to the Antichrist, saying that he shall divide the land for gain.
Hmm. Well,
I'm not saying I'm not calling anybody an Antichrist. I'm right. just saying that dividing Israel, the land, God's city,
mm-hmm.
where he plans to reign, that's not going to go down very well.
Exactly. And creating a state with an 8-mile wide strip, an indefensible strip right through the middle of it is, that's really creating the conditions by which dividing the land could really be accomplished very easily.
Now, mind you, on this street, Sam says dividing this street is okay.
That's right. Emma Westie,
stays over there.
That side. And she stays off the west side.
Exactly.
That's right.
Even though she is a Westie.
Stay off the west side.
Oh, gosh. So. Well, you know, there was a story today that, do I still have that up here? A group that was called up, no, I don't have that anymore, from Oklahoma, I think, who have been called up to go to Afghanistan, Iraq, and the Horn of Africa. If you don't know where that is, you might want to look that up. It's right there around Somalia, Sudan, and what am I trying to say?
Somalia?
I just said Somalia.
Oh, sorry. I was...
And Yemen. That's the one I want to think of.
And
it's
Somalia.
Right in there. That yes. And don't forget, yes. Somalia.
And you're the one who's... See, I told you. I'm right there with you.
Ah, honey. I love you.
Yes.
I love you more than my luggage.
448 soldiers from the Oklahoma Army National Guard, Afghanistan, Iraq, and the Horn of Africa. These are soldiers from East Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And a spokesman for the Guard says this notification serves as authorization to begin training and preparation for the possible mobilization and deployment of the unit, but does not constitute an official alert or mobilization.
Now, I don't know if they're going after Al-Qaeda in the Arab Peninsula, if that's what they're going after, or if it's going to be Somali pirates. It could be pirates from Doctor Who, for all I know, but the fact is men and women are going to be placed in harm's way once again. And it's not a Democratic thing. It's not a Republican thing. It's simply the United States hegemony thing.
Right.
Well, I mean, we're out there to democratize the world.
And apparently in places where we said we were actually withdrawing our troops, Afghanistan and Iraq. Weren't we like totally out of Iraq here a little while ago? Wasn't that the first thing President Obama, you could take it to the
mission
bank?
Mission accomplished.
We could take it to the bank, he said. Not going to happen.
Are there any banks left?
Well, there are a few, and thankfully we've been able to continue doing business with some small local banks, which we much prefer. But yes, you're right.
Well,
the banksters, the big banksters, the ones who wrote the checks that got Barack Obama elected, are profiting from the investment in war and the shed blood of, not just American kids, but people overseas as well. So that will never stop. The long war will continue forever. And by the way, Barack Obama says that because our engagement in Libya is so limited, even though we're now beyond the 60-day limit allowed under the 1973 War Powers Act, which is what the Obama administration used to justify acting in Libya without a vote by Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we're outside that 60-day limit, he said, well, our engagement, our involvement there is so limited. It's non-kinetic. You see that word a lot anymore.
Yes.
Non-kinetic. He doesn't need Congress's approval.
Well, if that one bill goes through, he won't need it anyway. So there you go.
Yeah,
Congress. And by one bill, well, I can't give you the number. Sorry, I don't have it in front of me. But it's one that I think we talked about earlier. What was it, a couple of shows ago that we talked about that bill? Or were you and I just talking about that bill?
Might have been talking about
it. Or am
it
I just
there?
Talking to myself? Am I even here? Gosh.
Oh, a day. Well, yeah.
Well, here's a question, and it has nothing to do whatsoever that I know of with the current administration.
Okay.
Why is Scotland Yard fighting to keep the Jack the Ripper files secret?
Really?
Saying that if they release these files, there's been essentially a FOIA request, the UK version of that, to see all of the many files that have never previously been released. The story is that Scotland Yard believes that their current stool pigeon eyewitness program mm-hmm.
yeah.
will be put at risk.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The Jack the Ripper was active in the 1890s.
Yes. 1880s.
1880s. Okay, so we're talking 125 years ago.
A lot years ago.
And
longer than anybody's alive currently. And I'm thinking that anybody who has given information to Scotland Yard currently mm-hmm. was not alive then.
I'd say you're probably right
and
about
I'm,
that.
I would even say that the so-called informants mm-hmm. from, forgive the stool pigeon, that's the only, look, my brain is empty. The informants from the Jack the Ripper days more than likely are not alive.
It would be major news if they were.
Yes.
Because they'd be bordering on about 150 years old.
You just have to ask the question, could there, be something in there?
Obama's birth certificate. Huh? We figured it out. We've cracked it.
He was born in 1888.
In London. Who knew? Well, that is really interesting. You can only because there have been many researchers have speculated that one of the royals was involved in the
Jack the Ripper. The Duke of Clarence.
Yes. So, And Sam, what are you doing? He's tasting the base molding over there, but now he's turned the other way. Oh, Dad, I'm not talking to you now. It's really weird.
We have driven him to such boredom with this show.
He's chewing the walls.
He's trying to get out.
Well, that is really intriguing. But we joke about the Obama birth certificate because, frankly, that's all we can do at this point, because anyone even talks about it and tries to talk about it rationally is ridiculed by left and right.
Exactly. You could have the most profound reasoning behind mm-hmm. doubts or even, if you're going to defend it. It doesn't really matter. You bring it up and people just immediately start laughing.
Yeah, which is, people in the major media, let's put it that way,
yes.
Because polls indicate that more than half of Americans, or at least more than half of Republicans, or people who identify as Republicans, don't believe the president was born in the U.S. Dr. Jerome Corsi's book is about to be released or has just been released. Where's the birth certificate? The case that Barack Obama is not eligible to be president. And I've got an interview scheduled with him for this coming week, so we'll find out what evidence he's uncovered, so that we can all be ridiculed when we bring this up at cocktail parties. And that'll be on A View from the Bunker this coming Friday night, May the 27th. Thank you. So in the interest of dragging you through, any longer.
Do I have that glazed over look in my eyes
Well,
again?
No, I just
no,
I know,
it's probably yeah. there. I kind of feel that way. No. I'm just looking quickly through the things that I've been adding to this little storage site during the week, and I really can't see anything else there that we have to talk about right now. Make sure, if you have not listened to Derek's View from the Bunker from this past Friday, that you do. It's a really important one with regard to, the Harold camping event, but also what else was it you talked about with her?
Well, we talked a bit about Rob Bell and his book Love Wins. Now, she has not read Love Wins, neither have I, but we discussed just the doctrine of hell and eternal punishment and where theology goes when you undercut the foundation of biblical inerrancy, when you start down the road that so many have traveled by saying, I don't understand why God would do such and so. Therefore, that must not be what the Bible means by that.
Well, it comes down to
God.
Here's an analogy. You're sitting in Wrigley Field. Mm-hmm. And the umpire makes a call. He doesn't get the final word. Everybody in the field gets the final word. You all decide whether or not it was a strike or an out.
Hmm.
How can the game proceed? There has to be a definitive answer.
Or
there is a truth.
Yes, and I think maybe even a slightly better analogy would be people in the stands deciding that three outs isn't enough for one team and one side. That's not fair. They should get, you know, four or five outs, or they should be able to play as long as they need to in order to score a run.
Or my team hasn't won in 100 years.
Yes, so they should be allowed to win the World Series, even though they've not, you know, done what's required.
They're feeling kind of bad about themselves right now, and
yeah,
a little downbeat.
But as the Lord said to Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the universe? Sam is so disgusted, he has crawled back onto his bed, and he's buried just his head underneath his binky, his little blanket there. The rest of him just sticking out. He's basically pointing his hind end at us in an editorial comment on the quality of today's program.
Black and tan moon, not a blue moon.
Anyway. Anyway,
that's what's going on. There is a truth. You know, you have to believe in an inerrant Bible in its original languages. Otherwise, you have nothing.
That's exactly right. You make a God, you fashion a God in your own image. Instead of God creating you in his image, you create a God in your own image. I've looked in the mirror, and I'm pretty sure when I look in the mirror, I am not looking at the creator of the universe.
Honey, I love you very much, but you are not God. And neither am I. So there you go.
I agree with that.
And we'll just end it with one last thing. Mitch Daniels has said no.
And considering the way the Supreme Court in Indiana recently ruled, with his appointee writing the decision, that's probably wise. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content copyright Gilbert House and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone.